Before you start your next do-it-yourself project, listen to this. You Got This is on the air. You Got This is hosted by ABT Plumbing Electric Heat and Air owner Andrew Twidwell and Rosalie Brown. With a helpful hand, here are Andrew and Rosalie.
Hi, this is Andrew Twidwell, owner of ABT Plumbing Electric Heat and Air, and we're back again with the show You Got This. It's a show of DIY do's and don'ts, and I'm zooming in with Rosalie Brown down in Dana Point, here to talk to you about DIY stuff. But first off, how's it going, Rosalie? How are things down in lovely SoCal?
Good. Cold. Well, I don't know. Relative. I shouldn't say cold to people who live in the mountains. It's been a little overcast, a little cold. But when you guys were having like your storms, we had similar weather, just of course not with snow. But I think we talked about this a few weeks ago, maybe 2 or 3 weeks ago. They had snow down in Malibu. And what's so unique about that, as we talked about, is that, you know, being from Northern California, Northern California native, when I was growing up, snow had the amount of snow you would get, or the possibility of snow, of course, was based on your elevation. The higher the elevation, the more snow you'd get. So in my mind, you know, anytime there's snow, like coastal at like sea level, or I'm like, that doesn't make sense. But then I think, I'm kind of a dummy, because Seattle gets snow and they're at like 3 feet, you know, elevation. Yeah. I lived in Detroit. We got snow. Our elevation was like pretty next to nothing. So I don't know if it's because I took what I learned about our explicit geography and ecosystem. I tried to apply that everywhere. And I was like, no, but I'm sorry. Even with that, snow in Malibu is weird.
Snow in Malibu is unusual. Yeah. And snow in Anza Borrego. That was weird.
Weird.
Yeah.
Weird.
Like just east of San Diego. That's crazy.
Because it's, yeah. But you guys aren't going into, are you talking about a snow system coming in? Or are you talking about just like more?
No, rain? It's not. It's just going to be raining here. Yeah. So it should be raining by the time we hear it, by the time this airs. But yeah, the storm door is open. So we'll hopefully be getting some more rain. And I know our, you know, the snowpack's not looking that great right now, and reservoirs aren't looking that great, so we definitely need it. And yeah, we don't need more. We need wetter ground for the fire season. It's coming up.
I know. So, yeah. It kind of feels like I forget how long fire season is. I think it's easier to like assume that fire season is like, you know, 10 months a year, and then there's like two months. I mean, it feels like it's moving in that direction, doesn't it? Like
it does.
It just gets longer.
It's crazy. Yeah, so there was. I saw there was fires down in SoCal too, not long ago. But
yeah, mm-hmm, I know, and I'm actually keeping an eye on kind of like climate, because you know, as you know, I've talked to you off air. I'm going to be kind of transitioning into a different area. I love the ocean, but I really kind of need to be in a little bit more of a happening place. So, but as I was, you know, kind of making those adjustments, I was like, oh right, I forget that. There are so many different subclimates in California that you really want to pay attention to, like fire season and things like that. So, so it'll be an interesting summer. But you actually did something really cool yesterday. You took advantage of the sunshine and you went on some cool bike ride. I saw.
Yeah. So, my wife and I are pretty avid bicyclists now. You know, kids are gone, so we got a little extra time and trying to find things that we both enjoy. And we started biking. I started biking, and then she used to bike when she was younger, when she grew up on the peninsula down in the Bay Area. And then she's a hardcore runner. But we bought her a bicycle, a nice nice new carbon fiber thing. And she really got into it. And then I converted one of my bikes to dirt, which is but with drop bars. So they call it a gravel bike. And we just bought her one a couple months ago, and she's been kicking butt out there, like doing these trails on drop bars. And we did, you know, 16 miles the other day and on some pretty technical stuff. And that was down in this park is amazing. It's in Auburn, the Hidden Falls Regional Park. It's just gorgeous. If you haven't been down there, definitely recommend it. And then on the weekend, we ended up at Spenceville Wildlife Refuge, and that was fun. I hadn't really, I've only been down there years and years ago when the kids were young, and that was really fun to explore down there. We did that on Sunday. So yeah, been getting out and enjoying the weather and enjoying the beautiful area that we live in, and taking advantage of some of these places that we haven't been to in a long time or never been to. And yeah, it's been fun.
That's awesome. I mean, that is really, like, this is that weird time of year, right? Where, like, you get, like, a window of some really good, nice, clear days, yeah. And then you can end up in, like, wet, damp for a while. So, you know, take advantage of the outdoors while you can, in exactly. The windows that you get, right?
Exactly. Yeah, we're recording this on Wednesday, and it's gorgeous out today. So, yeah, definitely, yeah, after we finish this, gonna go take a nice long dog walk, and, yeah.
It's very on brand for Andrew. If the sun is out, he's not going to be behind a desk. I totally appreciate that about you.
You got to get outside when you have the opportunity, you know?
Yeah, for sure. Vitamin D.
That's why we moved here in the first place. So I didn't move here to sit in front of a desk. You know, I moved here because it's gorgeous.
Good point. I think when we're done, like, don't call me later. I'll be busy. I'm going to go outside. Yeah. Hey, so I wanted to talk to you about the one area of ABT that we never seem to give enough love to. And we should, because it's one of those things where I would always hire someone to handle any electrical. I would never try to do it myself, because after what I went through as a kid with my dad going, oh, just put those two things together, and snickering while I, you know, had a shock. Right. I don't trust electrical anymore. Thanks, Dad. So I will never do this myself, but I thought, you know, there are some basic keys of knowledge, right? You've got the electrical background. You've got a company that does electrical. So
yeah. Let's and my father was an electrician. So yeah, I was born and raised in the trade.
You've been shocked. You know, yourself.
I had a similar initiation when I was 7 or 8. Yeah. And throughout my childhood working for the old man, because he found no issue with being shocked. I've since learned that most electricians try to avoid that. So I have gotten wise and try to avoid it. But yeah, my dad was a different breed. He was yeah, no, John Wayne and oh, yeah. Hardcore, no. Macho. Yeah.
I'm with you. Like the general contractors of like the 70s and 80s. Oh yeah. Man, forget about it. Yeah. Like forget yeah. OSHA, forget child labor laws. What we've oh, already yeah. talked about. We already know that. So,
oh, yeah.
So I've got some some emotional scars around this topic, but I thought if I can be of use or service to anyone today, let's
this is good stuff.
Yeah, let's ask the electrician.
Cool. So
I'm gonna start. Okay. So I'm gonna ask you, now some of these will seem basic, but remember, I hire people to handle my electricity. Yeah. So for the common person, is there a difference between a fuse and a circuit breaker? What is it?
Yeah, so we used to use what's called a fuse box, and that was, you know, primarily turn of the century and maybe into, I can't even remember the exact dates, but I mean, it way predates me. So we're talking 20s or 30s or something like that. We used to use fuse panels, and all those were bus fuses. They're literally, you screw them in and they're sacrificial. It's a device that if there is a short circuit or an overheat or an overuse of a circuit, a little piece of metal in there melts and cuts the power off. So that's what a fuse is. A circuit breaker is resettable. All it does is it literally trips and breaks the circuit, i.e. circuit breaker. So it's a switch. It turns off. So if you have a overuse short or something like that, it's going to shut the power off to that circuit. So they're essentially the same thing. We don't really see fuses anymore. Most of them have been pulled out and replaced. There are, you know, still a few places that we use them, but it's pretty rare. Most everything is circuit breakers these days.
Okay.
So yeah, those are the difference. Sorry, fuses are sacrificial and circuit breakers are resettable.
Okay, gotcha. I'm pretty familiar with having to reset circuit breaker, but we'll get into that another day. Okay, so second question. What does the term, now I get a funny visual, okay? What does the term, I'm using air quotes, short circuit mean?
So yeah, so short circuit, you know, there's a couple terminologies, but basically when a wire carrying an electrical current comes in contact with a grounded conductor wire, that's what's a short circuit. A circuit normally goes from, this is something that's kind of fun. Electricity goes in one direction. So it feeds out in one direction. and then goes to the load, i.e. either light bulb or motor or something of that nature, goes through that load, electricity is consumed, and then comes back through the ground. So it has a circuit, a circular motion. When you interrupt that circuit and jump the wires or jump that gap before you actually go through the load, that's called a short circuit, and it will trip your circuit breaker or your fuse. So it's usually either from an overheat or, you know, sometimes you'll see it like on a DIY show, or if you've worked on electrical where you've touched two wires together and you get that nice little arc, and that little explosion, and your pliers get melted to that those two wires, it actually welds it together. That's a short circuit. So yeah.
It's funny when you said that electricity travels in one direction. I actually got a real quick flash of being in school. I remember something about, there was something in, I couldn't tell you what class it was, but science, whatever.
Yeah.
And physics, I remember right. it. Well, I don't know if I was that smart back then, but yeah. I remember them talking about electricity traveling in one direction, and something about that like made sense to me at the time, like, oh, I get it. And then when it comes together, of course, I've forgotten all that and shocked myself many times since then. Right. But it's funny that one little thing you said, and I was like, oh, I'm back in grade school. I remember electricity travels in one direction.
And I use that terminology all the time when training some of our newer employees on our newer coworkers on how electricity works, because it's really I mean, if you boil it down, pretty much everything works the same way for electrical circuits. It goes in a circle, and there's basically a switch and a load, and that's pretty much it. There's a thing that turns electricity on and off, and there's a thing that consumes electricity, and it goes in one direction. So, and then you can't always go, like, sometimes, you know, you're taught that the hot lead is usually the lead that's coming from the breaker is usually black or red, and then the white is neutral, goes back to ground. You're taught that you can usually touch a white wire, but don't take that for, you can take that for granted sometimes, and it's not always the case, because I've seen situations where the electrician did things backwards, and I've gotten shocked on neutrals, and I've seen people switch neutrals as opposed to switching the hot lead. So, you know, don't trust that things were done right.
Every time I try, listen, every time I try to have trust in electricity, you say something that makes me have serious trust issues. Like, I just accepted that it travels in one direction. You're like, well, but, you know, like, this is why I call
it. Well, it does travel in one direction, but don't trust the colors of the wire, because sometimes people do things that.
Their own way.
And then also, if you get into older houses, they used one color, it was black, and
I get it. I'm very familiar with that, actually, as you can imagine. So that kind of leads me to this question, which is probably the question we wanted to make sure we covered, because I know I certainly went through this, wondering this question. So is my electrical panel unsafe? How do I know if my electrical panel is safe or not?
Without getting into too much detail, really the best thing to do is have an electrician come out and take a look at it. Because if it's an older panel, you know, if it was installed 20, 30, 40 years ago, which is not uncommon, you can have an issue with it. It may not be sized correctly for the modern home, the amount of electricity that we use these days. You know, we continually add more and more electrical components to our homes. So, it's a good idea to have it checked out. Some of the things that we look for is, you know, what we often find is where people, electricians doing things like they're not supposed to, double lugging, taking two wires, two circuits, and through one breaker. We also see corrosion happening. Those kind of things can, you know, be detrimental, and they cause heat and can lead to fires. Okay. So you definitely want to have those things checked out. Electrical panel should work, and you really shouldn't have any issues, but it's not a bad idea to have it checked out every 5 to 10 years, you know, and maybe even every year if it's an older system. Kind of like, you know, if you have an old car, you want to have it checked out more often than if it's a brand new car. If your house was wired within the last couple of years, you're probably good for 10. If it was wired 30 years ago, you might want to have it taken a look at every year, every two, just because it potentially could have some problems. Corrosion is the big one. And also we'll check and make sure with things, all the lugs are tight, because when you have loose connections, they form heat, and heat is bad when you're dealing with electricity. Electricity forms heat when there's resistance. So like, you know, like a toaster, that's a resistance coil. It's slowing the passage of electricity and it glows. The same thing happens to our wiring. If we have a resistance in our wiring, it will literally glow and could get to the point where it smokes and eventually starts a fire. One other thing that I really wanted to talk about is my electrical panel safe. There's a product that we see a lot of up here, and that's called a Zinsco panel. And if you're in the industry, you've heard about these. And if you're in the home industry, you know about them. But if you're just a layperson and just a homeowner, you may not know about them. Zinsco, Z-I-N-S-C-O. They were a pretty cool thing when they came out, but they did have some issues. And they came out pretty much in the 60s and 70s. So we still see quite a few of them installed up here. So there was a big building boom in the 70s in Nevada County and Placer County in the area. So we see quite a few of them. A couple things that you can definitely know that it's a Zinsco is there's going to be a sticker in there that says Zinsco. If the sticker has fallen off because it's, 50, 60 years old by now, because we pretty much stopped using them around the 70s, you may only be able to tell it by the breakers. The circuit breakers are interesting colors, like pastel oranges and greens and things. They're kind of trippy. But one of the problems that these breakers are, they were recalled and they've had a lot of issues with them. So here I'm going to read a little thing. Zinsco breaker panels are dangerous and no longer considered safe to use. Zinsco breaker panels are known not to trip in the presence of overcurrent or short circuits. So the whole purpose of a circuit breaker is to break the circuit if there's a problem.
Sure.
If that breaker doesn't trip, that wire gets hot and melts and causes a fire. And due to the type of aluminum used, Zinsco breakers can melt and fuse to the bus bar. The bus bar is inside the circuit breaker box itself. If this happens, the breaker will not be able to trip and can cause an electrical fire. We've seen these things burn houses down. I've been in the presence of homes that have burnt down because of Zinsco panels. It's kind of become our mission as electricians to rid our county of these things. We actually went out for, last year we went out for a bid to replace a Zinsco panel because the neighbor's house right next door burned down the week before. And the neighbor's like, oh yeah, I've got one of those. I should take care of it.
No.
So we see it quite often. So if you do have a Zinsco panel, by all means, look into getting it replaced. They're no longer considered safe. You can't even buy parts for them new. You have to buy used breakers for them. And I know I've talked to guys that actually will buy used breakers for them to make them work. I don't recommend that. I recommend just getting rid of it. And that's not just me because that's what the job we do. That's me as a person that cares about other people. It is a hazard. You want to definitely, at the very least, have your Zinsco panel inspected and make sure all the lugs are tight. Make sure all the breakers are set correctly. Make sure that the breakers are actually working. We want to exercise them, make sure they actually can trip. Have your electrician come out and take a look at it. I have seen panels that are in good shape that may not need to be replaced other than the fact that they are Zinsco and the homeowner is elected not to, but have those things looked at. Because it can be, we're talking your house burning down kind of stuff. It's not cool.
So are you saying that these are still, it's not that they're popular now, it's that there are just so many that have already been installed that might still be out there?
Yes. There's so many that were installed because of the boom that we had in the 60s and 70s in the construction of our area. I'm just reading here. Later in 1973, Zinsco was sold to GTE Sylvania. The production of these panels continued until the late 70s, until about 80, when Zinsco panels production stopped. However, they're still out there. So, yeah, it's one of those things where, if you've got one, just do your own due diligence and look it up. Don't take my word for it. I'm just somebody that's been doing this for a long time, but there's a ton of stuff on the internet about how these panels are really something you want to get rid of.
Gotcha. Okay. I think we have time for one more question because we also kind of want to make sure that we end the show with some stuff that's going on.
A little more positivity. Sorry. That one I'm a little passionate about.
So. Well, this one, No, but I also want to make sure we have time to talk about all the cool things ABT is doing, if you remember any of those.
Oh, yeah.
because I'm having one of those weeks where I don't remember anything but my name. My last question is kind of funny. I mean, because it's I've lived places where this has happened, and I've always thought that it was just bad luck. Why do my light bulbs blow out frequently? That's the one I want to ask you.
That was a good one. There are several reasons this can occur. You know, one particular reason's is overheat. So you want to make sure, you know, that there is some, it's not too tight in there. When we use incandescent light bulbs, again, it's a resistance coil essentially in there. Okay. That's what's glowing. It slows the electricity down and consumes electricity, so it gets hot. And you want to make sure it doesn't get too hot, because if it gets too hot, that element blows out. So, you know, most lights are designed that's not an issue, but sometimes you get some, you know, there's some products out there that aren't necessarily code that you can buy at the hardware store. So, okay. Yeah, you might have to change the whole light fixture. But to be honest, at this point, pretty much everything that we're installing these days doesn't have an incandescent light bulb any longer. Uh-huh. Everything's gone LED because they're so far superior to incandescent and even compact fluorescent. Most of the lights that we're installing these days don't even have light bulbs. They have an LED that's built into the light fixture itself because you don't need to replace them. It'll okay. last like 10 years. So then you don't even deal with it. So, you know, if it is an issue, if your light does continue to blow out,
yeah.
Have the fixture replaced or replace the fixture with an LED and that problem's going to go away.
Okay.
That and LEDs are so efficient. The amount of heat, you know, one of the reasons why they're so efficient is because they don't get hot.
Right.
Heat is a use of electricity that we don't necessarily need with a light bulb. All we want is light. Okay. So an LED burns cool. And so it's not using electricity to form heat. It's only using electricity or as much heat. It's using it mainly just to produce light.
Okay.
So that's why they're so much more efficient. Okay. So yeah, just change it to an LED and you won't have that problem. Or get an LED light bulb and screw it in there.
Okay. I can do that. I can do that.
And they've gotten so inexpensive and so worth it. LED light bulbs will last you probably 10 years if they're of quality, you know, a quality okay. product.
Gotcha. Okay. So we kind of got through a lot there and there's just more minutes. So I'd love to hear about, like, what's happening with ABT, anything we need to make sure we mention before we say goodbye.
Well, we should have talked about this before because I know I can't remember. My brain is mush, too.
Oh, my gosh. Okay. Hey, guess what? I don't know if
Please
anyone...
Please help me here.
Okay. Like, I love when I look at you and you're like, wait, what?
You're in the headlights.
Hi.
It's been one of those... I was just in a meeting with my managers and they're like,
you forgot where you work.
That's different than what you said last week. I'm like, oh, okay.
Yeah, okay. So, all right. So
too many balls in the air right now.
Andrew's back on the sauce.
Day drinking.
So, right. Well, I mean, it's who can blame you, right? Okay. Yeah. So really quickly. So I heard a rumor that ABT pays really well and ABT is hiring and that people
yes.
who are in the trades or want to be in the trades, who want to be treated well, who want to get good paychecks, who want to get steady work, who like to work in a positive, clean, healthy work environment, might want to reach out to ABT. And how would they do that?
You can email me at andrew@easyasabt.com. You can also go on our website and we have a really nice little button up on the top that you can push and has a application form that you can fill out. You can call us at 530-272-9120. We have a bunch of ways to contact us. So yeah, by all means, reach out. Even if you're just at all somewhat interested, we're always looking for good people. You know, just to let you know, we do test for drugs and we do a criminal background check. So, rules out, unfortunately, quite a few people in our county, but, you know, if you can pass those things, we're interested in talking to you. Give us a call.
Yeah, we're definitely looking to expand and we need good people or people that want to learn and have a great attitude. So let's do that. Now, if you have a need for a plumber, an electrician, or an HVAC technician, then you can also call ABT and get on this calendar. You can call ABT at 530-272-9120. Visit them on the web at easyasabt.com and find us on Facebook. We're pretty easy to find. I think that's kind of everything.
That's pretty much it.
Okay.
Yeah, that's great. Well, so once again, thanks for listening, and we'll catch you guys next week. Bye.
Thanks, Andrew. Thanks, Rosalie. Now let's get that project started. You got this. We'll be back next Friday morning at 9 o'clock on KNCO News Talk 830.